From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Listener, welcome back to English Service from the Voice of Indonesia. Today's edition on Thursday, October the 17th, 2019, you'll be getting newer information about Indonesia with me, Steven, as well. Let's begin with the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Trade Expo Indonesia TEI 2019 officially opened. Muldoko said, no procession post-presidential's inauguration. Now the news in details. The largest international trade exhibition event, Trade Expo Indonesia TEI 2019, was officially opened by Vice President Yusuf Kalla, who was accompanied by Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita, and the ranks of working cabinet ministers at ICE BSD Tangerang Banten, on Wednesday. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said in Tangerang on Wednesday that this year, his side targets to welcome more than 35,000 exporters, importers, and investors. He hopes that this great event will be able to achieve transactions and investment values by 15%, or both $8.4 billion in comparison with last year. He also pointed out that the Trade Expo Indonesia this time, which takes place from October 16 to 20, 2019, raises the theme Moving Forward to Serve the World. Presidential's Chief of Staff, Muldoko, held a meeting with volunteers to discuss the presidential's inauguration ceremony, which will be held on Sunday, October 20. On this occasion, he conveyed President Joko Widodo's message that a celebration event should be held simply. This was affirmed by Muldoko responding to the plans of a number of volunteers who will hold a procession to President Joko Widodo and Vice President Maruf Amin post-inauguration at the NPR building on Sunday. Even without a celebration, according to Muldoko, President Joko Widodo wants that the atmosphere of the inauguration of the President and Vice President in 2019-2024 will continue to be solemn. He also asked volunteers not to feel disappointed with this decision. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph Donovan, along with Muhammadiyah's chairperson Haidar Nasir, met at Muhammadiyah's central office in Jakarta recently. Both of them discussed several national and international issues, such as human rights violations that are happening in the Xinjiang Uyghur, China. On the occasion, Ambassador Joseph Donovan called on Muhammadiyah to keep speaking out concern to fight human rights violation in the Uyghur minority in Xinjiang, China.
We also discussed a number of international issues, and I encouraged Muhammadiyah to continue to speak out against the repression of the Uyghur minority in China. And we agreed to meet again and to work closely together on all of these issues.
Ambassador Joseph Donovan expressed his gratitude and pride for being able to visit Muhammadiyah because Muhammadiyah can provide a good and strong example of respect for religious freedom and diversity. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Home Affairs Cahyokumolo said the National Unity and Politics Agency, Kespangpol, is the key to regional and national stability. At the National Coordination Meeting on the Strategic Embedment of Pancasila in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister Cahyokumolo hopes that the Kespangpol would take a close look at the dynamics and development, as well as contribute to the challenges of the Indonesian nation. He views that the most severe challenges are radicalism and terrorism. In addition, Minister Cahyo considers that Kespangpol can also play a major role in eradicating narcotics that threaten the Indonesian generation. The Indonesian battleship commander KRI Sultan Nuku 373, Lieutenant Colonel Laut Khoirur Rozikin, said that escort and surveillance in the border region between Indonesia and the Philippines has regular operations. Khoirur Rozikin said in Tahuna on Wednesday that currently the condition in the waters of the Sangihe Island is safe. From the results of surveillance so far, the waters of the Sangihe Islands as a border area with the Philippines is safe. The operation is currently carried out under the command of Gusporla Go Armada 2nd through KRI Sultan Nuku 373 by conducting operation of Kawanua Sakti in the waters of North Sulawesi, especially on the outer islands. He hoped that residents of the Sangihe Islands as a border area of Indonesia and the Philippines would continue to participate in guarding the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. Minister of Trade Erlangga Hartarto will scrap 18 regulations to anticipate the U.S.-China trade war, which is predicted to lead to a global crisis. As quoted by Antara News Agency, in his statement on Wednesday, Minister Erlangga explained that 18 regulations are under the final process. 12 of them are being scrapped and 6 other being simplified. The process has been accelerated to be implemented before the inauguration of the new cabinet. The 18 regulations mostly deal with the procurements of raw materials for industry, particularly the metal industry. He also said that the metal industry is one of the main sectors because of other industries need its products. In addition, the metal industry is also important because its derivative products are export-oriented. He further said that metal is a raw material for many industries. Since the metal industry has asked for protection, the products of the metal industry will be protected by issuing the industry's minister regulation. The Indonesian delegation that attended the Border Liaison Officers Meeting, or BLOM, between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea, PNG, held in the Papua Provincial's capital of Jayapura, proposed a 10-point agenda. Escorted by Antara News Agency Chief of the Border and Foreign Cooperation of the Papua Provincial's Government, Susana Wanggai, said in Jayapura on Wednesday that the proposed 10-point agenda, including administrative affairs, border cross surveillance, citizenships, and border economic operation, will be discussed at the meeting, which will end on Thursday. Hopefully, the PNG delegation will respond to the agenda during the meeting, including a plan to realize the purchase of rice from Merauke. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here's the commentary. Operating again, Merpati will support Indonesian government's effort in developing connectivity. Eventually, PT Merpati Nusantara Airlines can resume its operations after 10 state-owned enterprises synergize to help it being active again. Garuda Indonesia, along with 9 other SOEs, synergize to form a strategic partnership in a bid to restructure the business of PT Merpati Nusantara Airlines. The cooperation agreement includes collaboration in the field of air cargo services, ground handling, overhaul maintenance, and training center. The cooperation agreement was signed directly by President Director of PT Garuda Indonesia Ari Askara, Managing Director of PT Merpati Nusantara Airlines Asep Eka Nugraha, and directors of 9 other SOEs in Jakarta Wednesday, October the 16th. PT Merpati Nusantara Airlines has ceased operation since February the 1st, 2014. This is due to Merpati's debt to a number of creditors, which reached 10.72 trillion rupiahs. PT Merpati Nusantara Airlines had experienced its golden time in 1989 until 1992. At the time, Merpati had various types of aircraft, from jets to small-sized propeller planes, which totaled 100 aircrafts. With a considerable number of fleets at the time, Merpati controlled pioneer flights in Indonesia. Short-distance routes to remote areas could be controlled by Merpati. The airline operated on the routes that were considered uneconomical. At the time, Merpati's performance was strengthened by the synergy with Garuda Indonesia. Merpati served as a Garuda Indonesia feeder to serve flights to all corners of the country. And during its golden time, PT Merpati also served international flights to United States and Australia. For the United States, Merpati had served via Honolulu-Los Angeles route. At present, the aviation business in Indonesia has developed rapidly and is able to increase human mobility efficiently and have proven to contribute positively to the regional economy. Unfortunately, access to remote areas and remote islands is still limited, considering the implementation of pioneering flights has not been optimal. With the reoperation of PT Merpati Nusantara Airlines, of course, access to remote areas and isolated islands is increasingly open. Certainly, the reoperation of PT Merpati will support the efforts of the Indonesian government to build connectivity across Indonesia. And listener, that was the commentary.
Listener, here is Today in History, our regular program. Today in History starts from an event on October 17, 1947, on Special Force Corps of Indonesian Air Force anniversary. On October 17, 1947, Dakota Carrier aircraft, which flew from Maguwo Airport, Yogyakarta, cross on the sky of Kalimantan. Dakota aircraft carried out parachuting to 13 best soldiers of Indonesian Air Force over Waringin City. Their mission was to open radio transmission between region and center to prepare dropping zone for the next jump, to help warriors in Kalimantan, and to open the eyes of the world that Kalimantan is part of Republic of Indonesia. The parachuting, which was conducted by the 13 soldiers of Indonesian Air Force, signed the birth of Combat Unit of Special Force Corps of Indonesian Air Force. Thus, October 17th was decided as the day of Special Force Corps of Indonesian Air Force. Next event was in 1973 on embargo of Arabic oil. On October 17, 1973, Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, or OPEC, whose most country members are Arabic countries, began to impose oil embargo on the United States of America, United Kingdom, and other countries which sold oil to Israel. The embargo was conducted because the USA, the UK were viewed to massively provide military assistance for Israel in the war between Israel and Syria as well as Egypt that began October 6. As a result, oil price became higher and Western countries were in serious trouble due to the embargo, which was known as period of oil shock. In March 1974, the embargo was pulled out again after U.S. State Secretary Henry Kissinger succeeded in carrying out negotiation of ceasefire agreement between Israel and Syria. The last event was in 1992, on the commemoration of World Poverty Eradication Day. The commemoration was recognized by United Nations in 1992. The commemoration was held for the first time in Paris, France in 1987. At the time, 100,000 people gathered at Human Rights and Liberties Plaza in Trocadéro to honor the victims of hunger, poverty, violence, and threats. They declared poverty is violence on human rights. Afterwards, General Assembly of the United Nations declared on October 17th as World Poverty Eradication Day. International communities celebrate the commemoration with various ways. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Selalu bersama. Cinta, cinta.
Cinta pada jumpa pertama.
Inikah rasanya cinta? Oh, inikah cinta?
Terasa bahagia saat jumpa.
Ini gambar dirinya cinta.
In the Voice of Indonesia. Next one, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Corrective Action of Indonesian Government to Increase Environment Quality. Indonesia's active role in efforts to address environmental issues at ASEAN level can be seen from the statement of Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar, represented by the head of Research and Development Agency and Innovation of the Ministry, Agus Justianto, at the 15th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting of Environment at the Sofitel Angkor Phoketra, Siem Reap, Cambodia. Agus Justianto conveyed the statement of the Minister of Environment and Forestry that how important environmental issues in the ASEAN region are and the need for collaborative strategic steps to anticipate environmental problems in the region. The official statement also mentioned the corrective actions taken by the Indonesian government through the Ministry of Environment and Forestry to improve the quality of the environment in Indonesia. The 15th Ministerial Meeting of Environment, which took place from October 7 up to 11, discussed various environmental problems in the ASEAN region and discussed regional cooperation to anticipate the existing environmental problems. The discussion includes climate change, environmentally friendly city development, biodiversity conservation, clean coastal and marine environment, environmental education for young people, water resources management, chemical and hazardous waste management, control of cross-border haze pollution, and environmentally friendly schools. There are three important matters discussed in the 15th Environment Ministerial Meeting. The matters are the adoption of a joint statement by ASEAN member countries on climate change, which will be presented at the Conference of Parties to the Framework of the United Nations Climate Change Convention in Chile in December 2019. Then the draft of ASEAN Strategic Plan on Environment, ASPEN, and the establishment of 5 national parks in Myanmar, Thailand, and Vietnam as ASEAN Heritage Parks. The 15th Environment Ministerial Meeting was opened by Vice Prime Minister, concurrently Minister of Economy and Finance Cambodia, Aka Pundit Sapecha, at Sofitel Utama, Cambodia, followed by tree planting event at Angkor Wat Tourism Area. During the meeting, an evaluation of the work of the ASEAN Working Group in the field of environment was also carried out, and other proposed activities in the relevant environmental field to anticipating environmental problems in the ASEAN region. According to the agenda, the 16th Environment Ministerial Meeting will be held in Indonesia in 2021. Indonesia hopes that Environmental issues will be better in the next 2 years, and ASEAN member countries can more focus on the environmental issues anticipation. Well, listener, that was my Indonesia.
Tapi ku bertahan.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Thank you very much. You're still with us in the English service from the Voice of Indonesia. Next, we will invite you to get to know more about Indonesian cultures or our tourism destinations. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to sarongge, a typical coffee from Cianjur. Traveling to Cianjur, West Java, especially those who are coffee lovers, please do not forget to taste typical coffee of Cianjur, namely sarongge coffee. Sarongge refers to a place where the coffee is produced. Sarongge is a small hamlet on the slope of Mount Gede, which borders with Gunung Gede Pangrango National Park area at an altitude of 1,000 to 1,600 meters above sea level. Sarongge coffee is an innovation product of farmers at Sarongge Hamlet. By planting coffee, they hope to be able to maintain and preserve forest of Mount Gede Pangrango to maintain local people's welfare, especially in Cianjur. There are some variants of sarongge coffee, such as sarongge full wash, sarongge honey, sarongge natural, sarongge vini, sarongge luwak, sarongge lanang, sarongge 1535, sarongge rosidi, and sarongge ki hujan. These variants consist of Robusta and Arabica coffee. To distinguish its variant is from the way to process and location of the planting of the coffee. Unlike Arabica coffee in other regions, the Arabica sarongge coffee has medium shape and the taste is a little bit sour. Arabica sarongge coffee can be tasted when hot or cool. Interestingly, the Arabica sarongge coffee is planted not at the expanse of open plantation, but under the thick forest. The sarongge Arabica coffee is planted with agroforestry style, so that the coffee is not directly exposed to the sun. Besides can enjoy it at the original place, sarongge coffee can also be enjoyed at other regions or big cities in Indonesia, such as Jakarta, Bogor, Bandung, and Bali. If you want to buy the coffee for souvenir, the price is quite affordable, which is around 30,000 rupiah to 50,000 rupiah per kilogram, depending on its variant. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Kulakukan masih saja. sering kau pertanyakan kesetiaanku kasih selama ini masih saja sering kau ragukan tak perlu engkau larut dalam bimbang peganglah janjiku kasih dan cintaku ini degaplah degap erat diriku buang saja resahmu hempaskan di dadaku kasih percaya yakinkanlah dirimu bersama diriku kan meraih cita-cita kita nanti oh apa yang kau risaukan semua telah kulakukan masih saja sering kau pertanyakan kesetiaanku kasih selama ini masih saja sering kau ragukan tak perlu engkau larut dalam bimbang peganglah janjiku kasih dan cintaku ini dekaplah dekap erat diriku buang saja resahmu hempaskan di dadaku kasih percaya yakinkanlah dirimu bersama diriku kan meraih cita-cinta kita nanti saja resahku hempaskan di dadaku kasih percaya yakinkanlah dirimu bersama diriku kan meraih cita-cinta kita degaplah paskan di dadaku kasih percaya kan meraih cita-cinta kita
You are still with us in the English service from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next one will be interesting information about things happening in and also about Indonesia. Next, miscellany.
Let's Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Seleni. In today's Citizen, we present you information on Menoreh Art Festival 2019. Since October 12, festival with the title Menoreh Art Festival MAF 2019 has been opened. The festival, which is held to commemorate the 68th anniversary of Kulonprogo, take place at the Field of Water City, Kulonprogo, until October 20, 2019. The festival is aimed to introduce Kulonprogo culture to the community. Many different arts and cultures are shown during the festival. The opening of the festival started by holding Ngalarak Blarak competition, the traditional sport that belongs to Kulonprogo. In the past, Ngalarak Blarak was only kids and youth game at the hamlet of Coconut Juice Taper on Menoreh Hill, which used belarak, or in English means coconut meat drip. The local government makes it as package competition so that Ngalarak Blarak becomes an interesting competition for adult people by using coconut meat drip. The government also makes Ngalarak Blarak to be the traditional sports of Kulonprogo. After competing Ngalarak Blarak, there is Campur Sari Singers parade. The next day, there is puppet show by using Tiga Kelir or screen. Then it is continued by performances of Sendra Tari Sugriwa Subali and Sendra Tari Api on Menoreh Hill as Kulonprogo icon. Sendra Tari is a drama story which is presented by dancing without dialogue, and it's usually accompanied by gamelan. Another traditional sport is jemparingan, or traditional archery in national level. There is also massive macopatan, or singing in Javanese language, karawitan, and choir, or flash mob. In addition, there is also Full Moon Festival while playing music from Rice Ponder. In the Menoreh Art Festival 2019, the regional government of Kulonprogo also handed over awards to a number of culturists. The government also released a book entitled Sanun, which tells about a student army from Kulonprogo who becomes policeman and was killed at Sanun Field, Sentolo District. Menoreh Art Festival 2019 will be continued by fine art exhibition entitled Rupaku, which will be conducted at Kulonprogo Culture Park starting from October 21st to 30, 2019. Previous years, the exhibition was held in one location with cultural festival. This year, the exhibition presents community of artists, curators from Yogyakarta, cultural actors, performers of art community. The regional government of Kulonprogo also makes a package of the cultural park to be Kangen Market, where various kinds of traditional culinary products of Kulonprogo are sold. That was our segment for today, Miss Seleni. Thanks for listening.
Jalan itu. pergi berteman sepi berbayang kedua matamu. Sayang, walau bulan tak bercahaya, cintaku selalu dalam jiwa, di lubuk hati terdalam. Sayang, jika membekam sungguh sayang, diriku takkan berpaling lagi, ku peluk selamanya. Entah berapa lama satu jam menanti, ku termenung kencang tentang hilang tak bertepi di adanku. Melangkah pergi berteman sepi berbayang teduh matamu. Sayang, walau bulan tak bercahaya,
such information we also present to you so many songs. Next, we still got more in musical information or the music corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I will present a song to you by Club Project. Club Project is an Indonesian music group formed by Katon Bagaskara, the vocalist, bassist and guitarist, Lilo or Romulo Rajadin as guitarist, vocalist, Adi Adrian, keyboardist and pianist, and Ari Burhani, the drummer, in 1986. The name Kla itself was obtained from the initials of the band's personal, while the use of a small A to indicate the presence of two personal who have the initial of the letter. In addition, there is one unique thing in the Club Project works, namely poetry lyrics with nuances of literature. For example, the lyrics in the song Yogyakarta. The song contained in the album entitled Kedua, which was released in 1990. The lyrics are, Pulang ke kotamu ada setangkup haru dan rindu. Masih seperti yang dulu, tiap sudut menyapaku bersahabat penuh selaksa makna. Two words that are rarely used in the lyrics are setangkup and selaksa. According to the Great Dictionary of the Indonesian Language of the Education and Culture Ministry, setangkup has the basic word tangkup, which means the same size, while selaksa comes from the word laksa, which means tens of thousands. But in the song Yogyakarta, the word selaksa means very much. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Yogyakarta by Club Project. Enjoy the song.
It seems it is the time for me to say not goodbye, but stay tuned, because we still continue with so many more informations about Indonesia in different languages. In the meantime, do not forget to send your questions or also your suggestions to our email, voi@voinews.id, or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. I'm Stefanus. Have a good day and stay tuned in The Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.